Well, we're going to have open lines for you tonight, and I'm going to open up a premonition hotline for you. That is 818-817-0021, because I think so many people are having these premonitions. 818-817-0021. I know if you've been trying to fast blast me today, I've just been told by our computer experts that it has been down all evening as well. But they tell me that they have just had it fixed. It had something to do with a severed wire somewhere in the system, and that all is well. So I'm going to open up my fast blast, and I assume you're going to get ready for yours if you want to get going into that registration section or to do whatever you do to get your fast blasts open, because they tell me that's up and running now. So we'll be back in a moment with open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and let's fire up these phones and get right to it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, hi. This is Gerald from San Diego.
Hello, Gerald.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir. I hope it's a good one for all of us.
Yes.
Started off pretty rough.
I just want to throw something out. You know, here recently, another one of our friends passed away, Robert Ghost Wolf.
Yes.
And he was very much into... speaking about the photon belt,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if you could possibly, get someone on that might be able to give a program on that.
Maybe. Well, as a matter of fact, once he passed on, we have been in the process of trying to find someone who, I don't want to use the phrase replace Robert Ghost Wolf, right, because you can't replace people like that, but to find someone who has similar views. To bring him on as a perspective.
Have you tried to contact Laura Lee Mystikoff?
I have not.
That's his wife.
Okay.
And she might be able, but you know, he was very much into the photon belt and the areas we're going into now. And he was, in fact, both of his books, he's mentioned that the energies, you know, are increasing. They're getting to a higher vibration, and it's affecting a lot of the consciousness on the planet here, which is affecting a lot of the people and the actions they're doing.
He was a wonderful guest.
Yes, he was.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah, this is Jason in Portland.
Sure.
And you had a guest on last week, and I can't remember his name, but he was talking about a lot of UFOs appearing in the time, World War II time period. Do you remember that?
That?
Hitler and you know, the all the things he was doing, and then all these UFOs started appearing at that same time.
Okay, go ahead, though. What's your question?
Okay, well, my comment was, the reason I believe that all those, he was basically saying that the aliens were malevolent and they threw a porthole because of all the evil things Hitler was doing to the Jews. And just the war itself. And, you know, I think that instead of these aliens being...
you're talking about Lynn Marzulli.
Being, I think there you go.
Yeah, he was on with Ian Punnett.
There you go. I'm not so sure that that's the reason. I think maybe just the fact that we had so many aircraft and so many people just that were out in that one area looking at, you know, just so many... Probably nowhere in the history of the world were there that many, you know, aircraft in the air at one time.
But so, you know what? But a lot of strange things happened during World War II. We've had reports from pilots during that era. They would see what they would call Foo Fighters,
right,
these small metallic objects hovering around ships and planes. It was just weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought maybe that he kind of based a lot of his theory on the fact that... you know, they were malevolent, and they were coming through that porthole that you know, was opened by evil. And I just thought maybe the fact that they had so many planes out there at that point in time, that may have been the reason for the increased sightings.
Maybe so, but I don't think that they were all malevolent and benevolent. I think you had a mixture, and I think this entire universe is full of that too. I don't think you're going to get evil, total evil, and I don't think you're going to get all wonderful extraterrestrials. You're gonna get across. It's just like this planet. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm calling from Colorado.
Hi, Sarah.
And you know, George, your show is wonderful. And what it reminds me of I'm an old lady, was back in Kentucky when the farmers would go down to the store and they would sit around the stove and look through the newspaper and all talk to each other. And it reminds me of sitting at my aunt's house with all my cousins around the fireplace, and we'd be burning up on the front side and freezing on the back side, and we'd be telling ghost stories.
That's exactly the perception of how we want the program to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But there is a higher purpose, I'm sure, with all the trauma this country might be facing. I think Coast to Coast will be one of the saviors through all that, because we'll need communication. But anyway, it is so charming and so warm and wonderful, and thanks so much.
That's it? That's what you wanted? Thank you.
That's what I wanted to say. Uh-huh.
Very nice of you.
Uh-huh.
All right,
thank you,
take
darling.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. This program will go through some incredible atrocities with all of you, I'm sure, in the future, whatever they may be. But we'll be here with you. And always, I think, through the darkness, try to shed some kind of light. And hopefully that positiveness that all of you have, that ability, that collective ability, will be able to fight through this no matter what happens. We'll have these good days and we'll have these bad days. They're going to happen. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Eric in Tonopah, Arizona.
Eric, welcome. Good to have you with us.
All right. I tried to get through the other night on your fortune cookie line, but wasn't able to get through, so I wanted to tell you this story.
All right.
Normally, you know how fortune cookies, you open them, you read your fortune, then later something happens that's, you know, really freaky or eerie. This one happened the opposite way. The thing happened first, which is I work a night shift at a print shop, and, you know, it's late, and there's only a few guys there, and we tend to joke around a little bit. Well, the guy who works on the machine next to me, his name is Rich. And late one night, out of nowhere, he decided that it would be a good idea to moon me. Now, and that all, you know, well and good. That's just the kind of guy he is.
Guys will be guys, right?
Yes, they will. And, again, his name was Rich. Now, later, I went on break. I went to a Chinese food place that's open real late. My fortune cookie said, "The star of riches is shining upon you." And that is still in my toolbox.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's probably the only fortune to come true from those things.
And you know what? If it had come, if I got the fortune cookie first, I would have had ample warning. But no.
Did you hear the guy who called in about those lottery numbers?
I didn't hear. I must have missed that part.
He got his fortune cookie, and you know how these new ones now have lottery numbers at the bottom.
Yeah.
So he played these numbers for 6 months and lost every time. So he decided to stop. 1 month later, all the numbers come in. Guess what the lottery paid?
Yeah.
50 mil.
Nice.
He'll never be the same again.
Yeah. How do you come back from something like that?
No. I could never go back to that restaurant.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate it. Yours was equally funny. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
My name's Carol. I'm calling from Phoenix. I was wondering, George, if you ever had anyone on your show or Ian's show or Art show talk about crystal or rainbow children?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about crystal children, rainbow children, indigo children.
Okay.
But we don't do it a lot. I think, you know, we probably do it maybe once every year and a half, something like that.
Well, I think it'd be a good idea to talk about it because, you know, with all the negative things going on, there's a reason why these kids are coming in. And I know with my son, it was unusual because I'm a single parent.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. I, about like 2 or 3 years ago, all of a sudden I had this desire just to have a child. I'm like, oh, my God. I've always wanted to be a mom, but all of a sudden it just was really strong.
Well, maybe the old biological clock just clicked in, huh?
Well, the strange thing is I wasn't in a relationship at a time, and I just went on and I got a donor. And just went and did that for some reason.
You got an artificial donor? Okay.
Yeah. And
or I was thinking you ran down the street and grabbed someone. You're the donor.
But the strange thing is I have a friend that's a psychic, and she said there's a lot of women now doing that. that they never did that before. And a lot of
now, what do they tell you though about the donor? Do they tell you about the guy's health?
Yeah,
and
about
stuff
their
like
health,
that.
IQ. I mean, it's like going to Barnes and Noble, literally.
Do you get the?
You get the?
You pick out what you want.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but it was weird. It was.
How much did the guy make doing this, or was this free for him?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know.
Isn't it weird? So have you had the child?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And he's wonderful. I mean, he's smart and just really, I mean, he's the sweetest.
Now, are you perplexed isn't the word. Are you curious about maybe trying to find the father?
Yeah, that's something that I picked an open donor. So that's something that's.
What's that mean?
Open, that means that they
they're available.
He's willing to give it, yeah, he wants to give his identity, things like that. Yeah.
Now, does he have to? Is he compelled to pay child support?
No. Oh no, no.
You sure? If
yeah,
you went to court, you mean you couldn't get him to pay child? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to. They.
Not that
you
would.
It's something that you, like a contract thing, so that you go in this knowing that you don't have that you're doing this, knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, it was just unusual how, I mean, I'm doing fine. All of a sudden, it just, the desire came on. And it was weird. And when I talked to my psychic, she's like, you know, there's a lot of women going through this. And a lot of these children that are coming in are really, they need to be here because the world is just in a mess. And they need to be here. And I guess the rainbow and
crystal
kids are just so enlightened little beings. And it's funny, my son is just, and I've run into other children like him, they're just very, they seem to be really wise little kids.
Yeah.
Very, very sweet and very wise little children. And I, it would be interesting if you could have that show again.
Yeah, we will. And do you ever foresee the day where the child will meet the father?
You know, I don't know. I've asked my psychic about that one time. I said, will it bother him? And she's like, there's a possibility he could meet him. Chances are probably not. She goes, but that won't bother him.
Are you going to tell him?
Oh yeah,
what
I thought
happened? Yeah.
You'd be amazed. There's books on that you can order, actually, about this type of about having bring a child like this into the world. It really is. There's actually children's books. I have two or three picture books like that.
If this were, let's say, the 25th century,
mm-hmm.
and they had robotic kids, you know. Would you get one if it was almost real?
You know, and then they were capable of love.
Yeah, they had everything perfected. And they'd outlive all of us. They'd never age. They'd stay that
way. Well, you know, the thing is that that takes me to that movie AI. I don't know if I would, because if I would, I'm mortal and I would end up dying. And then what if this child, who would this child have? Or is this child just going to, I'm going to be capable of putting it in its being into a,
Maybe he goes back to the kid's store and they give him away again or something.
Yeah, but I don't know I don't know if he would want to, you know, if I would want to do that to that child.
Yeah.
You know, because children are just, no matter the love of kids, they're just, no matter how bad the parent is, they love that child, that parent.
I mean, I went into a little robot store out here in Los Angeles mm-hmm. last week, and they've mm-hmm. got this from Japan. They've got these little robotic dogs now.
Right.
And they're incredible. I mean, and they don't eat. And you,
right.
You know, they're not like real dogs. I love real dogs, but these things are incredible.
Yeah.
$2,000 for this thing.
Oh, good Lord.
Which is almost what you have to pay for a puppy these days, you know? And think of what you would save on food.
I know, but it's nothing like my son.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Premonition Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Scott. I'm listening to you on 710 KEEL in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Welcome. Yes, you are. How are things? Things patching up down there?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's just another day.
Yeah.
But, George, I heard this Premonition Hotline, and I wanted to call to share with you a premonition I had. God, I hope it doesn't ever come true.
What is it?
Well, back in 1998, I had about three repetitive dreams over the course of about a week. And this, I guess this was also in tune with some current events with, you know, the Clinton administration and the Chinese government and, you know, technology transfers and exchange support, et cetera. And I just had this terrible premonition of Chinese paratroopers, and I'm also a paratrooper. I was, you know, in the Army back in the late 80s,
right.
But I had this terrible premonition that we were just literally, I looked out my front window of my own home one morning, and there was just
there they were
paratroopers just falling out of the sky, and you know, it was just a terrible dream. I hope nobody has dreams like that. But
let me tell you something. This is the third time I've heard this story, not from you. Third time I've heard this story. People have had dreams of paratroopers.
Well, I was a paratrooper, so I sort of chalk that up to
well,
my
these
own
other two
experience.
People were not. So that well, that's interesting.
That is true. That is interesting, but you know, I just think that this is indications of instability and caution when we have premonitions like that. It's definitely not the predictor of the future. It's just sort of our own subconscious sort of living out our own fears, I guess. But
our military, you know, how many people do we have in our military now? I mean,
that's a really good question, George. I have no idea, and I should know.
I mean, if this is an interesting question, I mean, if our country were attacked, and I'm not talking about a terrorist attack where they pick a certain region and do whatever they do. If this country was just attacked, like from all sides one day, I think we'd see troop movement with all the satellites and the technology we have. But let's just say one day we woke up and they're storming from all over the place. Do we have enough soldiers in this country to defend ourselves?
George,
do we have to rely on police
George,
officers?
I think the answer to that would breach national security.
You think so?
I really believe so. And
one way or another.
Well, I wouldn't even want to really discuss that on a national radio program because I think that, you know.
Do you have the answer?
George, I have a very strong sense of intuition.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the quantitative answer to that question. I would say this, that we really need to stockpile. You know, I'm not going to say I'm a paranoid.
No, but I know where you're headed here.
But I think
you're
we
right.
We really need to stockpile, and I think it's important that we do because when it really comes down to it, it is, you know, bullets and butter that dominate. So, that was a really strange premonition I've had. I've had quite a few strange dreams in my life, but we all have. I just think the dream world is such an interesting topic, and that's what I wanted to share with
okay.
you.
Okay. You know, I would guess most of our troops are situated around Air Force bases and military bases around the country, but I wonder how many are there and if they would all mobilize, you know, because we've got, you know, the 100,000-plus troops in Iraq and the thousands in Afghanistan, but that doesn't make up the complexity of the troops. Yet they talk about our troop strength as low. Now, we've got to have at least millions. Well, I just don't know what that number is anymore. But somebody fast-blast that to me. I would love to see what you think our active service total is worldwide, and then how many might be available in this country at any given moment. I'm George Norrie. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. And the Premonition Hotline is 818-817-0021. For Streamlink members, tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific time, we will have a chat with our guest, Alex Jones. And as you know, there's only, I think, seats for 100 people for chatting. So that fills up very fast. They start at 7:30. Alex Jones will be our guest chat tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific time, for Streamlink members, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Of course, one of the great reasons why we have an armed society, I believe, is also to prevent some of these potential problems. Let those foreigners know well in advance that most Americans are armed and ready to defend the United States at all cost. And those are people who would be acting like soldiers as well. That's a good thing. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Liz. I talked to you in July, and I'm from Royal Oak.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Yeah, good. Doing good. I don't have a cold anymore. George, what do you think? What?
You better shake it. It's been a long time.
What do you think is going on tonight?
It's weird.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's everything is weird. It's not just here. You feel it, don't you?
Well, look, the sun's in Aquarius, okay? So that's weird to begin with. I think we all have to realize that positive mental energy and love are stronger than anything in the world, and that's really the number one defense. That's my personal opinion. I have to tell you this. Tonight, I did some errands, and I was waiting for the bus about 10:30 at night, which was 9:30 your time, but I'm sitting at the bus stop by myself. It's kind of dark, and bing, I heard this really loud noise, and it could have been like a rock hitting metal. It was like right next to me, and I sort of jumped up and walked away, and then I finally walked back, and I looked, and I picked up this piece of cardboard, turned it over. It's a picture, and it says hope on it. It has a picture of, like, a lot of animals and, like, a chunk of earth being held in the hands of, like, God with these animals and trees and giraffes. And it just said hope. And I thought, okay, it's cool. Well, anyway, so, do you think it's, like, sabotage or just, like, a weird, bizarre thing?
No, I just think it's strange. I think there's just strange karma out there right now.
Well, you know, we have to realize
a barometer, maybe.
You know, when I lived in a commune in the 60s, and one of our big sayings was imagination is reality. You know, we can get all caught up in this negativity and fear, and then we are defeated. We're defeated right there. You know, we have to realize the power of the mind.
Absolutely.
And the power of
positivity. And you have to stay as positive as you can.
Yeah, I have a question. Who is the lady that you had on once or twice who makes a living out of, like, sort of de-ghosting places?
Oh, but that's Marianne, the Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
She laughs all the time.
Yeah, you know, my personal feeling with Art and Ramona is that I'm not sure, you know, I don't know because I never met Ramona. I just, you know, kind of heard her talk and, you know, connected with her that way. But I really feel like she hasn't left Art. And, you know, I just was thinking since you have access to all these people that maybe you could talk to her and see if she could, like, talk to Ramona.
No.
No?
We will not do that.
You're not doing that? Okay.
That's not part of Art's wishes.
None of my business then. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Let's see here. Huh.
Okay, thanks.
Can I just tell you one little thing?
What?
The paper I found that I was talking to you about where I was saying it was all these conspiracy theories, one of the things they said was that there would be a cleverly invading UN when our troops were spread out over the world and we had no troops at home to defend us, and we don't even have our national.
Well, we know that the United Nations will fight here in this country. They've already done that. They're already doing it. And they've been told, NATO flies over our airspace. During 9/11, NATO took over. I mean, that they step in. East of the Rockies, welcome to the air. You're on. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
George, this is Jim in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Hi, Jim.
Listening to you on XM Satellite Radio. Wonderful system.
Good to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Well, when Gerald was on a little while ago, we were talking about gas prices and things like that. And I happen to be a petroleum geologist out working in the oil fields here around Texas and whatnot. And one of the things that, of course, everybody wants to beat on the oil companies, and of course, some of that is a grant is justified. But what we tend to forget when we look at a gallon of gasoline is how much of that price is taxes. And it's way over half the price of that gallon of gas is taxes.
Well, I know, but look at ExxonMobil today. $36 billion year-end profit.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
I totally agree. But conversely, where is all those taxes going for this?
Well, but that's not included.
Amount of money.
That's not
what's going on.
Yeah, that's not included in Exxon's bottom line. So they're all making it.
Everybody, and it's the fat cats that are getting it, and the rest of us are beating our brains out just trying to make a living.
Yep, squeaking by.
Yes, just squeaking
hey,
by.
Hey, let me ask you about the peak oil theory. Might as well, now that I have you. What do you think? You think this planet makes its own oil, or do you really think it came from fossil fuels?
That I've always kind of wondered about back when I was in college and whatnot. I just really wondered about that, and I believe that quite possibly the planet can be making its own. It's definitely in the realm of possibility. I can't discount that at all.
Well, that's good to hear that from you.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Corsi would love you.
But I would like to admonish everybody to keep their larders full and keep their powder dry.
You got that right.
Okay, but
I like that. I like that indeed. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, welcome. Where are you calling from?
Michigan. This is Vic calling from Michigan. The question I have, you could help me out with. Remember back in our first big oil crisis back in the 70s?
Sure do.
Did the price of the gas go up?
Oh, yeah. The price went up, but we also had shortages. And interest rates, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, went through the roof, past 20%.
Well, I remember they rationed it to like 5 gallons because I remember on TV seeing the cars lined up out west, you know.
I mean, I can't remember what the price was then because you were talking about 1970s dollars, but the prices did go up.
Oh, okay. That's why I couldn't remember, you know, if it... I know they rationed it, but I couldn't remember if it affected.
Yeah, they went up appreciably, probably the same percentage as they've gone up. They weren't selling it nearly the price we're doing it today.
Yeah, that's what my question actually was. If the price didn't go up, why don't we ration it now instead of just raising the price every week?
If you ration it, the whole system collapses. It really does. You know, if you want to move cars, lower the price of gasoline $1 a gallon. Just drop it. Drop it off. Lop $1 a gallon off right now. If the oil companies that made $36 billion, Exxon, $36 billion, they made that when we had shortages. They raised the prices falsely, quite frankly. They did some things that I don't think they should have been allowed to do. But you would think that they would want the automobile industry to survive. Lower the prices. Next up, first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, great, George. I found out about the program, the show, through Dennis. He considered himself a scientist. I was in the Barnes & Noble, and I was reading a spiritual book, and he was talking about his mother who had died, and he felt that he had made contact with her. But he felt, since he was a scientist, he couldn't believe that he really connected. And I looked at him with one of those looks like, hey, buddy, you know, he probably did. And so he said, well, you know, okay, well, I'm a scientist, so I don't go for all that. But you know what? You need to start listening to 104.7, which was Coast to Coast. So I took his advice, and, you know, it's like I found my way home or something. I mean, it's unbelievable. You guys are really fantastic. And it's when I say you guys... You and Art Bell and Eon Pundit, but the whole audience as well. I mean, and not only that, you keep people informed. I mean, I don't even have to watch the evening news now because, you know.
Well, plus it's one thing that the evening news is not. It's interactive. It allows you to do what you've just done, and that's call a program, react to it. If you have a computer, you can send us messages instantly. We get that. It's an amazing program because it is an extension now of all of us. I've had some people say that they cannot now go to sleep without getting the program, or they cannot miss it. If they do miss it because something comes up in their life, they don't feel whole. They don't feel complete. It's really strange.
And there's a solution to that. You advertise something by that company where you can tape the program, and that's a good thing to do as well. Hey, Bernard, I wanted to ask you something regarding the Illuminati.
All right.
I have a little theory. I wanted to expand on this because somebody asked you to give them a definition of what the Illuminati mm-hmm. was. And I'm looking at it like, okay, yeah, I do think that they're a small group of people, perhaps. But also I'm looking at, if I said, for instance, that it also involved like the super rich, the cartels, the corporations, covert
mm-hmm.
agencies, syndicates, and then, you know, miscellaneous like brain pool. Could I fit that in with that?
Yes, I don't think you could rule it out. Not all of them, but some of them.
Is there a good book? Like, there's usually a best book that tells about things like, because I'm trying to find out somebody's running this stuff behind the scenes. I mean, it's similar to Illuminati, but it's not just like George Bush or the United Nations. There's something else going on.
This is like much bigger than that, believe me. You know, much bigger than that. You might, there are a number of books out there. If you've got a computer, right?
Yeah.
Just Google search. But try Alex Jones's websites, because 75% of the stuff that Alex has on his website, he's got it down to a science in terms of groups and things. Info, I-N-F-O, Infowars.com, mm-hmm. or PrisonPlanet.com.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at those things, and you'll start to get some real good information. The other 25%, Alex, you know, he's out there. I mean, he accumulates information and puts it together. But I mean, he takes it a little step farther than I would. But 75% of the stuff on his website, I think you will find extremely fascinating.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Premonition Hotline. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
You there, Jared?
I sure am.
Oh, good. I've been trying to get you for years. This is Angel Gill. I've had several near-death experiences. I come back with the power to show people how to see things.
What are we seeing these days, Angel?
I want to show you what's going to happen to San Francisco.
Well, what's going to happen?
Close your eyes, and I'll send you the gift. Now, what do you see happening June of this year, from June 3rd to June 7th?
Oh, really? Honestly?
Yes.
An earthquake.
Huge, isn't it?
Well, I don't know how big it is, but I saw some buildings.
Now, I was down there in 202 and traveling the coast, going to L.A., and I give people the angel gift to heal people the next day after the big one. And the day before I left Frisco, I had my eyes shut, waiting for stores open, sitting in my car. And it was though someone in the satellite zoomed down on me. You know how it focuses down to where I was parked with some black and white stick figures. Then a voice said, get out of the city tomorrow, which I did. The next thing they showed me in color was where San Francisco used to be, it was gone. All it was just debris from. Both bridges were gone. All right, and then a few months later, I had a black and white dream again, which showed San Francisco on a map. Three earthquakes went right across, left and right in the middle, and the one down below between the right and the middle. It hit Silicon Valley.
We've got a couple psychics have said almost the same thing, Angel. This is not good.
Now, I'm going to show you two other things, and then I want to heal Art Bell through you. I want you to take 9/11, go on one of those planes before it hit the building, and tell me what you see. I'm sending the angel gift to give you the
ability. No, I don't want to go there tonight.
All right. Here's the other thing I want you to go to.
I definitely don't want to be on that plane.
All right. I want you to heal Art Bell. Put him in the white light.
Well, all right. You go heal Art, and you do what you got to do for him, because he has had many, many prayers. Go ahead and do it. Take care of it. Thank you. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello?
Welcome.
Oh, my God. Did I'm on?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Boy, I'm calling from Fresno. Oh, man, how's it going?
Oh, fine. How are you?
I'm only 16 years old.
16?
Yeah. You know, I get so many people to listen to your show, and they think, like, it's the best thing in the world.
Well, it is the best thing in the world.
I know. I've been listening for 3 years. My cousin told me about you. I was trying to get on for, like, an hour, and I finally got on. I was like, well, I was like, yeah, it's cool. But, yeah, I want to tell you about a dream I had. What's that sleep paralysis? What is that again?
Well, sleep paralysis is real. It's not anything paranormal. It's a physical condition where your body's like frozen. You're awake.
It's a dream, right?
No, it's not a dream. Your body is just locked up. You can't move. You panic. You think someone's holding you down, but it's really a physical contortion of your body. It's not moving, but your eyes are open.
Well, this is what my dream was about. I don't know if it was a dream or if it's real or not. I thought it was a dream, and I was laying in bed, and I find myself on the floor. I can't move at all. It was so hard for me to move. I was crawling across the floor, and I was just so scared. And I went across the hallway, and I looked into my parents' room, and I was trying to call them. But, like, my voice couldn't come out. It was too low. And, like, I was there just trying to call them, and they both popped up, and they had red eyes. And then I just woke up in my bed in the morning.
That's got to be a dream.
Yeah, probably.
No way the parents have red eyes. No. Unless they had a wild night the night before. Thanks for the call. And thanks for getting all your friends to listen to us here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, my name is Jay from Wisconsin.
Hi, Jay.
I guess I have what you call a premonition. I'm an avid poker player, card player, you know. And even when I'm not actually playing cards and, you know, shuffling my cards.
A little Texas Hold'em, Jay?
At least three times a week. So I'm sitting here shuffling my cards, and, you know, I decided to look at the bottom of the deck, and the ace keep coming up. You know, 9 out of 10 times I was shuffling the cards, and the ace would come up. So 2 or 3 days later, my friend was rather intoxicated, and he was rock climbing at night. Well, first of all, I was staring. The last time I was looking at the card, the ace, I was just staring at it, and it fell out of my hand onto the floor, right?
All right.
About 2 days later, my friend was rock climbing, and he was intoxicated.
Oh,
and
no.
I guess he missed.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm kind of still shaking up about it. He missed his footing, and he fell, and he died. Yeah, he had pretty bad injuries. And the odd thing about that is we always call each other our aces.
Oh, and this ace fell from your deck.
Ace fell.
Yeah, that's something.
I haven't been able to play cards since then.
Well,
been able to do much.
It'll take a while for you. You'll be all right. You'll get back to it. That's a rough situation. I lost my best friend. He died of cancer a long time ago. Took a long time to get over that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. You too. Thanks. I guess you don't really get over it. You just move on eventually. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I wanted to call in on the premonition line, but I couldn't remember the number.
That's all right.
Now, I don't know if I really call this a premonition. It's a dream I had. My friend's over here, and I kind of passingly told him about the dream, and he said, hey, you should call in and tell him about that. So I figured, what the heck, just for fun, I'll do it.
Sure.
I don't really give much significance to it, but here it is. All right, I think it was last night I had this dream. I was at work, and I, along with all my coworkers and customers, we saw this this storm gathering outside. It was kind of cloudy and hazy at first, but I went outside, and it started to become clear. You know, I could see this storm forming, and I looked up in the sky, and I could see this, in the midst of this cloud, I could see this darkened cloud formation kind of extending through the sky ahead of me, and to some distance ahead of me, it came down to the ground. I still couldn't figure out what it was. I looked behind me, and it extended for some distance behind me, you know, to the sky. And I turned back around in front of me, and I looked, and finally, out in front of me, I figured out what it was. It was a tornado, because I saw it touching down, and it was ripping up some, like, big sign. The impression I got that it was like Hollywood or Las Vegas that it was destroying or something.
Now, that's weird, because I saw that, too, a couple months ago.
No kidding.
A tornado. I saw three of them, though. Three tornadoes buzzing around Los Angeles. I don't know what the significance of it is. What do you think yours is?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember this, because I saw this sign right before it got ripped apart. It was like DA or something. That's all I can make of was DA, and that I can't remember.
Yeah, that's weird, because I had something like that several months ago. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Another hour to go. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.